Today's first scripture is from Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that his skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And we came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded. The Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him.
This morning's New Testament scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke. And it is Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 43. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountains to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but they stayed awake. Since they stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. And then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one of any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He's my only child." Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." And while he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father, and all were astounded at the greatness of God. May God add his blessing and lend understanding to the reading of his word. One day, high up on the mountain, while experiencing miraculous circumstances, Peter had a good idea to stay right where he is. "Master," he said to Jesus, "it's good for us to be here." No ordinary Jew had experienced such a moment. Of course, Jesus was there. Peter had gotten used to being with him through the years. But Peter wasn't quite sure yet. At this point, he had not quite figured out what Jesus' place in the kingdom was. But God's two greatest prophets from the Old Testament were there with him too. And these two important figures came from God's law and prophecy, books of prophecy. And to a contemporary American, it would be like the equivalent of having Abe Lincoln and George Washington show up and hang out with you. Wouldn't that be cool? Isn't it a good idea? Peter thought so. To have a nice house high up on a mountain maybe with a lovely view and good neighbors there, the best, Moses and Elijah and Jesus. The jokes almost write themselves. As homeowners often do, they could put in a swimming pool, maybe a community pool. And Moses could do tricks with the water, like turn the water into blood and then turn it back again into water, as he did in Exodus 7. Moses could also part the waters, like he did in Exodus 14. Jesus could walk on the water, the way he did in Mark 6, Matthew 14, and John chapter 6. And when they were hungry, Jesus could just simply cast a net into the pool and harvest a load of fish like he did in Luke 5 and in John chapter 21. And even if the cupboard was somewhat bare, Jesus could take whatever food they had and multiply it and feed a multitude with it, the way he did in all four of the Gospels. Elijah could make sure that the oil and flour never ran out, as he did in 1 Kings chapter 17. And when it was time to cook, there was no need for matches or a tinder box. Elijah could simply call down fire from heaven, as he did twice, 1 Kings 18 and 2 Kings chapter 1. And in those ideal circumstances, Peter thought, oh, and I forgot to mention, the face. This party didn't have to end, you know, when it got dark. All Moses had to do was take the veil off his face and it would light up the space that they were in. Not to mention Jesus' transfigured face. And Peter just thought, let's stay here, right where we are. Go no further. This will be where I live and where I die. Who wouldn't want to live in such a great place? I'd have good neighbors, a good view, good circumstances. Peter apparently forgot he had a wife somewhere down below. Paul mentions her in 1 Corinthians 9:5, and earlier in Luke, Jesus actually heals his mother-in-law. So there's a woman involved in his life that he is leaving down on the ground. Hopefully, the better angels of his nature would mean that once these houses were built, Peter would have gone down to get his wife to join him, living in this ideal place. After all, the more the merrier. If it's a great place, we'll have more people there to enjoy it. What a good idea. At least Peter thought it was a good idea. Suddenly the cloud shows up. And God speaks from the cloud. And for some reason, God does not like the idea. Why would God not like this idea? Does God have something against good ideas? Does God have something against great neighborhoods, swimming pools? Is God against barbecues? But the voice of God was clearly heard. And I know how you think that's supposed to sound. You know, I've seen all the movies. When God speaks, it's thunderous, isn't it? This is my son. Listen to him. That's what we think God's going to sound like. But again, if we're going with what these people knew, Elijah heard God's voice once. And it was speaking to him in what? What did Elijah hear? Still small? It's a whisper. God's voice was a whisper. So I wonder what it was. It doesn't say. Do you think it might have been a whisper in the cloud? This is my son. Listen to him. Either way, the message was loud and clear. This is your good idea, but this is not my idea, not God's idea at all. So back down the mountain, they go. Peter, James, John, and Jesus. Elijah and Moses go away back to their eternal homes. Peter may have felt humbled. It doesn't say. You kind of have to read between the lines to pick up what Peter was thinking at this time, except somehow this made it into Scripture. That's what I love about Scripture. These people who told these stories were not afraid to make themselves look bad. Peter could recall a time when he was diametrically opposed to the will of God, his good idea against God's better idea. He may have felt humbled. Maybe he felt humiliated. And perhaps all the way down, he was kind of kicking himself for getting ahead of God. We've all been there. He may have said to himself, "Well, of course I'm supposed to listen to Jesus. That's discipleship 101. You know, if I'm supposed to be discipled by him, I should be listening to him. I knew that. Why did I fall so easily for my good ideas?" Well, in weaker moments, though, he might have said it still would have been a nice neighborhood up there on the mountain. But back down the mountain, he dutifully went, planning on staying with Jesus as he made his journeys through the countryside. He would never forget God's voice, no matter what it sounded like. He would never forget that God's voice told him to listen to him. As soon as they reached the bottom of the mountain, they might have had visions of rest, relaxation after such a long journey. Maybe they could take a nap. But just as they're at the bottom, a new problem presents itself. Just then, a father whose son was very sick, asked the Lord to examine his son. He tells Jesus, "My son has a problem. All at once, he's possessed by an evil spirit. He foams at the mouth. He shrieks and convulses until he falls on the ground and he beats himself up." Who knows what doctors would call that today? Who knows what kind of diagnosis he would get? But Jesus, simply understanding medicine in a way that we have not yet caught up to, as advanced as we've gotten, Jesus saw the boy, rebuked the spirit, and healed him. Just like that. The disciples had already tried. The remaining disciples back on the ground through this whole experience, they had tried to heal him, but they hadn't had any luck. It hadn't worked. But Jesus just said a few words, and the boy was healed. And Luke tells us, all were astounded at the greatness of God. Jesus did not linger long. Jesus said a prophecy about the ending of his life. This was actually the same prophecy that Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus about up on the mountain. But nobody was prepared to understand that prophecy. They'd already heard so much. They'd already seen so much. And I wonder how much insight Peter had in his heart, in his learning heart. Did he ever think about the neighborhood again? Obviously, somebody remembered it because it made it into Scripture. If Peter were alone contemplating all that he had seen, I mean, who sees this kind of stuff? He might have thought, it might have finally hit him. You know, if we had done things my way, if we had stayed up in the great neighborhood, that boy would have never been healed. The disciples down below had tried to heal him and it didn't work. This boy needed Jesus. That boy would have gone on suffering for the rest of his life, probably. And his father would have died a heartbroken man. Instead, he got to encounter Jesus and be healed. And as Jesus' life progressed, Peter saw him do other miracles. And all those people were healed because God's idea was greater than Peter's good idea. Had he created that dream neighborhood up on the mountain, other people wouldn't have been healed. And ultimately, as he watched Jesus die on the cross and rise from the dead, Peter may have pondered what it all means, and it might have hit him. If we stay up there on the mountain, Jesus doesn't die for my sins and for the sins of humanity. Jesus doesn't prove the power of God with his resurrected body. the sins of the world would not be cleansed. So in other words, my good idea really stinks by comparison with God's great idea. The good news is that Peter eventually got on board. He became filled with the Holy Spirit himself, as Jesus was. And he began doing miracles as Jesus did. You know, Jesus told the disciples, "You'll do greater things than I did." And that became true in Peter's life. Peter was so powerful and thought to be so powerful that people used to put their sick in his shadow as he walked through Jerusalem, thinking that if his shadow just landed on them, they might be healed just by his shadow. The scripture reveals a growing awareness in Peter's mind that his good ideas were not so good after all, compared with the power of a great God. You know, it's still true for all of us who want to be disciples. We all have good ideas. You know, it's good to use your brain. It's good to think of stuff that you might want to do or that God might want you to do. But I think that the latter is more important. What does God want me to do? I think is the most important question you can be asking as you go through your Christian life. God wants to lead us. As God spoke to Elijah, and as God spoke on that mountain, God might be using his whispering voice. What's your good idea? Before you begin, remember what God said to Peter and what he says to all of us for all time, for all of us who wish to be a disciple. This is my son. Listen to him. I promise you, God's visions are far greater than even our best ideas.